Good morning. Today is Laity Sunday, therefore here I am for you. Thank you, Helena. So it's always nerve-wracking whenever the pastor comes to you and asks you to do a sermon for the church, especially because I'm now well-versed in the Bible and don't use necessarily the right terminology, but I always try to make it relevant to what we do in our lives, in our everyday lives. So today, interesting enough, we're talking about going out and preparing for the not the coming of Jesus, but the entering of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus. Preparing ahead of time before he comes into a town, before he comes into a city, before he comes into your homes. And it's interesting because we just went through an election and we understand the importance of preparation and what the teams ahead of the person who's running for office does for them, which is to prepare the setting and make sure that all the things that that person will need are there. Make sure the stage is prepared. Make sure that the chairs are there for the people who are coming to listen to that person. So if we continue with that state of mind and in that mode of thinking, we can understand what was happening at that time. Just a little bit of background on the time that this was taking place. Jesus had been going from town to town, and sometimes, most of the time, he was welcome. But there were some places where he really was not very welcome, and his teachings and his words were not heeded and were not accepted and were not listened to as we do in our most of the time we do in our everyday lives. There was a time where in the past Jesus had gone to a specific town and he was not very welcome, so he moved on from that town. There was also a little bit of background in terms of when the scriptures are being read. Someone mentioned something about dusting off the dirt of your feet, and there's a little bit of background on that passage. And I'm going to go into that before I go into the sermon. There was in the meaning of the Laity Sunday really is to welcome anybody who comes into our church. Not to be discriminatory, not to be exclusive, not to expect them to adjust to the way that we do things. And sometimes that's very hard, especially for some of us who have been here in this church for a while, and those who have been here even longer than I have. And I've been coming to this church for about 10 years. But there are many people who have been here for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So that it's very hard when we have something or someone new coming into our church. We tend to have ownership of what we have built here. And that is a wonderful pride to have. That is a wonderful thing, characteristic to have, because it makes us proud of what we have built and continue to build in our community. But that said, sometimes we can be very inclusive. We can be very comfortable with the way that we do things here and the structure that we have created. And sometimes we make it a little bit difficult for new people coming in with new ideas, with new way of doing things, to feel welcomed and to feel open and comfortable sharing their new ideas and their new projects and their new concept of what a church should be like. So it's important that we continue to remember that we were new at one time here also, and we were welcomed with open arms, so that we should continue to do that with anybody who walks through the doors here, whether they have a drastic idea or whether they are happy to be complacent to what we have already built here. The reading for today of Luke is almost like a marketing strategy, I would say. that God created, that Jesus created. So we have in the Old Testament the 12 disciples, and Jesus sent those disciples to do some of the work for him, to prepare for when he was coming to preach. In this New Testament reading, he creates disciples out of everyday people, so that the concept of the calling is presented in a very different way to us. That it's no longer you need to study for this, you need to be well versed in this, you need to spend years learning about this, where he says, no, you come, and you come, and we all going to create a group, and I'm Amen. Going to guide you through Amen. It, so that you know what to do for when I'm ready to come through the town, or through the community, or through your house. You already have some basic knowledge about what I'm going to offer. You already have open ears and open arms for me to be welcomed into your home. So it's really kind of a strategy that goes like this. He creates instructions to the new disciples. He emphasizes the importance of teamwork. He emphasizes the importance of prayer. And he talks about safety, real life issues. He emphasizes the importance of being focused, of having almost a tunnel vision about what you're going to do. What is your goal? Define your goal so that you can provide that for the people who are going to listen to you. He talks about lodging, what to do when you're going through town, what to do when you are being welcomed by the locals. He talked about contentment. Accept what they give you. Don't ask. Accept their meals, accept their routines, their customs. He talks about rejection, right? He redefines what failure is in a way. He talks about those who will not listen to you, those who will not be welcoming to you, those who will not be open to what you have to say to them. But let's go back to the meaning of the 70. And sometimes in certain descriptions of the Bible, in certain translations, they have 72 people instead of 70, but we'll go with the 70. There were 70 people that he chose to be his disciples. And these were not religious professionals. These were not pastors. These were not priests. These were not rabbis, but common and ordinary people like us.
Amen.
So we have to begin to think about, are we disciples of Christ? Are we disciples of Jesus? How has he called upon us to provide his word to others who have not heard it? You know, how are we listening to the calling? And what does that look like? We don't have to be professionals and well-versed to be disciples of Jesus. We can be everyday people like we are. We can speak our own language in the way that we speak to our neighbors and our children and our mothers and fathers and our colleagues at work and our friends at the park, so that we don't have to have a script that we follow. We can use our own intelligence and our own learnings and our own information to provide the Word of God. There were 70 elders in Israel. There were 70 members of the Saridan tribe. There were 70 nations to be reckoned in the world. So that meaning of 70 was an important number for Jesus. He said to the disciples, go out in pairs. He didn't say go out on your own or form a little small group that you're going to create. Go out and have someone when you go with you. And that reminds us of those calls that we get on Sunday morning or outdoors when people are coming in to show you the Word of God and to talk to you the Word of God. I know I myself am not always very happy to open the door and see these people at my doors, right? So that reminds us of that, and that kind of has a negative connotation because especially I'm in the mental health field and I'm always very cautious about how I talk to people and what kind of things I want to let them know. I don't want to push my beliefs on them. So imagine God telling you, Jesus telling you, you have to go out in pairs and you have to spread the word of God. What if nobody wants to hear it? You know, and why do I have to go with someone? Well, there's a reason for that. When you go with someone, when you go with another person, you have support for you. You have a shared energy between the two of you. You have safety in numbers, you know. You have shared knowledge about Christ, that if you don't know something, the other person can help you, or you can help the other person about their knowledge. Two heads are better than one, usually, right? You keep each other from strain, right? You keep each other focused. You help each other say, remember, this is what we're here for. We're not here to go shopping today. We're here to, this is the focus today. We're here to do what we came to do, what it was asked for us to do. We learn from each other, and we persevere. It is a lot easier to give up when you're doing something on your own. I know that when I go to the gym and I go by myself, you know, if I get really tired, I can just pick up and go home. But if I'm meeting someone there, you know, I'm accountable to that person. So I'll probably stay longer, even if I don't feel like it. So it gives us accountability about what we are supposed to do. It's also easier to handle when you come to difficulties, when you encounter people who are not very welcoming to you, and you help each other during times of difficulties. So that there was a specific reason why Jesus said, go out in pairs. There's almost like a strategy about how Jesus sent out these 70 disciples. And there's someone called James Engle, and he's a marketing specialist and a professor of marketing at Eastern College. And he developed what is so called the Engle Scale that describes the spiritual decision process that takes place for these 70 disciples. And I'm just going to go over briefly so that you have an idea of the sequence of events of what is supposed to happen. First, there's an awareness of a supreme being, but no effective knowledge of gospel. And that's what we're going into, right? You're going into a town, a community, a home, and you assume that those people don't know much about God, right? Because otherwise he wouldn't be going to them if they already have knowledge of God. And so you're there to provide an initial awareness of the gospel, an awareness of the fundamental of the gospel, and to allow them to grasp the implications of the gospel, and to create a positive attitude about the gospel, and to understand the problems that they have and how the gospel can help them with those issues. And then you are hoping that they have a decision to act, right? A repentance in faith in Christ. And from there, you are witnessing the creation of a new creature, of a new person, of a new being, rebirth. You know. So that is, in essence, what we expect to happen when we go and we're talking to our community and our friends or our churches. Luke talked about the harvest, that the harvest is plentiful. And he said that there's a lot to do, but not a lot of people to do it with. So that there is a sense of urgency that we need to do something because there's a lot of people that are waiting to hear from us, but there's not a lot of people going out and doing the talking. So there's an urgency to it. He says, don't worry about bringing a lot of luggage. Don't worry about bringing a new pair of sandals or your purse or a lot of money. Just go. Things will be provided to you as you move along your journey.
Amen.
Imagine saying that to us, right? We are so attached to things, right? I just came back from a vacation recently, and I always overpack. I always pack two or three more things, you know, times than what I really need. I cannot imagine having to just have one little luggage and go and not have all the things that I need, that I feel that I can't live without. But Jesus said, no, just go. Just take what we have with you. Take the essential things, because you won't need anything else. Because it is not about the things that we possess. It is not about the property that we have. It's about the knowledge that we have in our heart and what we're going to give out to other people. If you're invited into your home, he says, go and have dinner with them. Don't worry about the hygiene issues. At that time, there were rituals about eating certain food. And there was a long rituals about meeting each other and greeting each other. He says, don't worry about that.
Praise you know, God.
Just go meet people, go into their homes, and eat what they offer you. Don't create boundaries around you. Don't bring your own customs, your own rituals, because that only creates exclusivity. So be part of who they are. Become who they are, because they are welcoming you to their home. So it's up to you to be a gracious host for them, right? Be part of their ritual. Understand their culture. And this is so true as our community is becoming multicultural. Be aware of the differences, but don't let that stop you from welcoming each other, from allowing others to be part of our group, you know. Be open, be inclusive. Eat whatever they give you. You know, sit at their table and become part of the conversation, you know. Don't preach in a way, but be part of who they are. Understand where they are and start from there. How do you measure success when you go out into the community, you know? How do you know that you've been successful at something, you know? Luke tells us, don't worry about success. That's not up to us to determine whether we're successful or not. It is up to us to follow the command of Jesus, to go out into the community and be part of that. And let them know about the Word of God and what it has created for us and what it means to us. So that we always focus on how do we measure success. Well, it's very difficult to measure success when you're preaching, when you're doing what God tells you to do. He says, don't worry about that. It is not up to you to determine whether you're successful or not. So it really tells me that when we plant something, we don't know whether that's going to come out or not. We don't know whether it's going to become a wonderful tree or whether it's going to die underneath the earth. It is not up to us. It is not up to us what happens. It is up to us to follow Jesus' command in going into the community and create this conversation. Because we don't have the knowledge to determine what is successful or not. We have a very limited view of success because it's usually very self-centered. So it is not up to us to determine if we're successful or not. It is up to us to follow the structure that Jesus has created for us. Okay. So I think in this late Sunday, we have to ask ourselves, how is God using me? How is God using us to bring forth his knowledge and his vision and his teachings? I don't know how he's using me. I'm always questioning that. I always feel short that I don't know enough, that I cannot express appropriately what I feel about God and about being a member of the church. But I shouldn't worry about that. I think we need to be concerned about how we live our lives, how we are letting others into our vision of what a church is like, Now more than ever, it's so important to be inclusive of others and not to feel tied down by the structure of what we created for ourselves, was comfortable for us, right? What is comfortable for us is not always comfortable for everybody else. So on Lady Sunday, I ask you to think about, how are we being welcoming to others? How are we being open to others who are coming in? And not to worry about whether we're successful right away, whether we brought someone into church, or whether we saw someone who converted into Christianity. No, just plant the seed and let God do the rest of the work. It is not up to us to determine success, but it is up to us to plant that seed. So when the harvest comes, we're ready and willing and able to help. Okay. And I'll leave you with one more reading that I saw somewhere. It says, Christ has nobody on earth but yours. No hand but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ looks out to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless others now. And that's us, the Lady. Okay. Amen.